On behalf of the family, we appreciate you being here to honor and remember Don today. It is always sad when someone who you really love goes home to be with the Lord. And it's okay to grieve. And we need to be patient with each other because some people grieve at different rates than others. But at the same time, we need to remember where Don is and be thankful about that and the fact that we will see him again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the day that you brought Don into each one of us, our lives. What a blessing and a joy it was to know him. But Father, today, you know, many here are truly saddened and we miss him. We take comfort in knowing where he is, but we still grieve the separation. So Father, what I ask today is that you would make your very presence known here today. You would wrap your arms around those who are grieving and comfort them as only you, the God of comfort, can do. And Father, we ask that in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
If I could ask you to stand this morning, let's sing together. We'll be singing two great hymns of faith chosen by the family. First one, "To God Be the Glory." Let's lift our voices.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, his Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
The second verse. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood,
to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great.
for singing. Please be seated.
Hang with me. For those who don't know me, my name is Kyle. Don was my grandfather, or Poppy as we called him. My grandpa was an amazing man. He was the guy that everyone wanted to be around. A handsome man with an infectious smile. So fun to hang out with, a great listener, funny and loving. He was and is an absolute role model for me. He was always such a great teacher, and more than anything, he was such a great friend. Poppy came to every single one of Nick and I's sporting events growing up, regardless of location, whether it be on the other side of the city, other side of the state, or another state entirely, he was there, usually sitting in the back in his chair or the top of the bleachers with his hat on. Throughout middle school, Poppy was a basketball coach for a team of my friends and I called the Flash. I mean this wholeheartedly when I say these were some of the best times of my life. Although my friends and I were the kids on the team, Poppy was the absolute heart and soul of that youth basketball team. When I think of memories of that time, little comes to mind from actually playing basketball. Instead, I find myself laughing, thinking about him yelling at the refs, kicking over the chairs, making us run for missing free throws, and rewarding us with Gatorades when we played well. I cannot put into words how thankful I am for those times. Thank you, Pop, for being the greatest grandpa a kid could ask for. I know I'm not alone when I say that I stand here today absolutely heartbroken. Words can't express the love I have for my grandpa and how much he'll be missed. The situation still does not feel real to me. My mind cannot comprehend that I won't see him again. But I'm thankful and relieved to know he's in a better place now. No more confusion or pain. All smiles and likely wearing his swimsuit and tank top around the clock. I know he's reunited with loved ones and it brings me so much happiness imagining my grandma Kathy greeting him again. Sorry. Although I will not see you again on this earth, I know that you're with me. I can feel that. I know you'll watch over my family and everyone else in this room today. Poppy, I hope you're as happy and healthy as you've ever been. I'm very thankful for everything you ever did for me. Until we meet again, I love you.
Morning. I think it's still morning. I made this in big print so I don't have to use my reading glasses. So, as I was outside today and as the weather's getting a lot warmer, I kept almost hearing Don say, let's take a dip in the pool, because he loved to swim. My name's Dave Hoffman. My wife Annette and I are members of this church, Christ Community Church. I recognize a lot of faces, but a lot I don't. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about how I came to know Don. This is a large church, and as a result, we have what we call community groups. These are groups of anywhere from 10 to 25 people that make a large church more personal. One of the benefits of this is that we get to build relationships and socialize with each other. That's part of the meaning, but Don and Jenny are part of the group, and I met Don almost 20 years ago because he'd been in the group a long time. I became the leader several years ago, but I wasn't when we first met. So, as I said, one of the purposes of the group is to socialize and develop relationships, but I think the women in the group do a better job than the men do on that front. We don't always develop like that, but we do more than just socialize. It's more than a social group. We study the Bible, we pray for one another, we encourage one another, we share our lives with one another, celebrate one another, and we eat a lot of desserts and snacks and potlucks. So it's something we do. So I asked our group to share some of the memories they have of Don and reflect on the way he touched our lives. So you've heard a few things, maybe you'll hear some more from other people soon, but Don loved a lot of things, first and foremost God. He loved Jenny. Jenny was a real blessing in his life. He married Jenny, especially a few years after he lost his first wife, Kathy. She was a real blessing as well. She was in our group as such. He loved his family, his parents, so, and his grandchildren. You've heard some of that already. He loved his dog, exercising at the gym, swimming, basketball, the U of A, chocolate chip cookies, my wife's pudding dessert, and I'm sure you can add to the list. So, Don was what I would call a quiet gentleman. He never garnered attention. He always deferred to others. He was a humble man. Here are some of the memories of Don from our group. He was physically fit, a senior Olympics competitor. Concerned about the well-being of others, always asking about our family and specific people and situations with genuine concern. He was generous. When Don couldn't drive anymore, he sold his car to my grandson for a good price. I'm sure he could have gotten more because he took care of that car, but I think he has a soft spot for grandchildren. So, when he loved deeply. He was a joy to be around, encouraging, lighthearted, good sense of humor, very considerate of others, and very active. We remember his kindness, his smile, his encouraging words. He was a joy to be around on weekend trips, a cruise, and playing games, and even listening to him brag about his grandkids. And of course, he was gracious enough to listen to us about ours. Don was always faithful in our Bible study group and sometimes even made comments in a soft, low voice. But then when the study ended, he would say he would not stay too long and chat. He said he had to go home. He was ready to go. He would say he had to get up early for work, even though he retired years ago. So, on a personal note, Don and I have been through some difficult family times, and the circumstances were pretty similar. So we could relate to one another. And as I went through the trials, I used Don as a model of dedication and devotion to his family. He trusted God's promises and had faith in God's word throughout some very hard times. He depended on the grace of God in the good times and bad times all the way up to the end of his life. Jesus Christ is God's grace. And when the Bible speaks about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not talking primarily about something that is given to us, but someone who is given to us. The grace is in Christ. A pastor I admire, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this about grace and death. It is grace at the beginning and grace at the end, so that when you and I come to lie on our deathbeds, the one thing that should comfort and help and strengthen us there is the thing that helped us in the beginning. Not what we have been, not what we have done, but the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Christian life starts with grace. It must continue with grace. It ends with grace. Grace, wondrous grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In closing, one person in our group summarized our relationship with Don so well. In the time and the encounters we had with Don, his warmth and gentleness were so evident. You could tell he cared deeply and genuinely for those he interfaced with in our community group. This sweetness and love will be missed by one and all. Our lives will be enriched and blessed by knowing him here, and what a rejoicing there will be when we are reunited in heaven. And we hope you will stay up till at least 9 o'clock to visit.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm Don's daughter, and I have some things I wrote that I'd like to share with you this morning, but as you can tell, I'm a crier. So my dear friend Cindy is going to read what I wrote. Cindy knew and loved my dad, but mostly walked beside me for the last 4 years. So thank you.
It is an honor to be asked by Cindy to read these precious words that she penned. And she said I probably wouldn't cry, and I haven't made it through reading it once that I haven't, so I don't make any promises. But here are the sweet words that my dear friend Cindy wrote about her precious dad. If you were loved by my dad, you knew you were lucky. When I was a little girl, people commented on how much I looked like him. And I remember crying because it meant I looked like a boy. But even then, I knew to be Don Rorty's daughter was special. Dad was the small twin to his sister Connie, and I remember my grandma Ruby becoming emotional every time she talked about how sick and tiny he was when he was born. Thankfully, he grew strong, and he made up for his tiny start with a personality that won people over. He could talk to anyone, and he knew someone everywhere he went. My friends and my children's friends loved Poppy. He collected people. As children, we lacked for nothing. Being a girly girl, I wondered if I disappointed my athletic and competitive father. But he was there for every piano recital and water ballet performance I was in. Dad worked retail and often had weekdays off. And many days, we'd play hooky and head to Newport Beach and lay in the sun with the AM radio playing next to us and body surfed all day. As a teenager, if mom was at work and dad was in charge, I could count on claiming girl problems to stay home from school whenever I wanted. Dad always brought the TLC and a Tiger Beat magazine. I always got Valentine's from my dad. My parents sacrificed a lot, juggling their work schedules so we didn't have babysitters, but consequently their relationship often came last. Dad didn't like to talk about it, but as many of you know, they divorced after 22 years, remarrying each other 6 years later. Their second marriage lasted for 17 and was different, marked by growth and maturity, appreciation, and respect for each other. Dad developed a new humility during those years, and a gentler, softer side made even softer with the birth of his grandchildren. Dad became Poppy when his oldest grandson, Nicholas, did a mashup of sorts with Papa and Nick's obsession with Mary Poppins. Being Poppy brought out the best in my dad. He was involved in everything from picking babies up from childcare and going to the park if he got off work early, to getting up with them in the night if they had spent the night at their house. He was at every school performance, sporting event, graduation, and activity, and his love for them was returned tenfold. He coached Kyle's basketball team for several years and was known for his little temper when things didn't align with his motto of, if you're not winning, you're losing. Or when a ref made a call he didn't agree with. Only once did we see him actually throw a chair during a 10-year-old's game and get thrown out of the gym. I can still remember my mom shaking her head and smiling and dad justifying every action later. When Tom and I got engaged, my dad told me he couldn't have handpicked a better husband for me. And there were times early in our marriage that I jokingly told people that I thought my parents loved him more than they loved me. Now I know for a fact he absolutely loved his grandchildren more than he loved anyone, and I'm okay with that. Even on his most confused days in the last year, he usually asked about them. He talked about them, and he was so proud of them. After my mom died in 2006, Dad spent even more time with our family. Sunday night dinners became a tradition. During this time, he began volunteering at TMC, and he was one of the scary guys driving a cart around the hospital campus, in addition to volunteering at Pepe's house. He loved the interaction with the visitors, the employees, and the volunteers. He enjoyed going to the gym 6 days a week until just about a year ago, and had a supportive little community there at 5 a.m. every morning. He participated in Senior Olympics every year, always winning the three-point shot competition in his age group. I will always remember him proudly talking about waking up at 3 a.m., only to be found napping several times a day. He used duct tape to fix just about anything. And last summer, when we were fixing their house to sell, we learned that Dad believed it took about 6 nails and a screw to hang some pictures. He loved hot dogs and hamburgers more than anyone I knew, and could never pass up a cookie or five. Dad and Ginny were married on our patio in 2016, and it was sweet to see the tenderness and happiness in this relationship, and at the same time watching them act like a couple who had been married for 50 years. They enjoyed watching college sports together, always rooting for the Wildcats, or Pussycats, as Dad would call them if they weren't doing well. And until COVID changed the world, they enjoyed activities at church and with their community group. Dad's diagnosis of dementia 4 years ago changed many things. First, in subtle ways, like Dad not driving, to more concerns with him being home alone, to finally moving to assisted living, and then memory care last summer. During this time, Dad often had frightening delusions and in the middle of the night stories about something very real to him. Ginny was an absolute gift to all of us during this time, especially Dad, as she demonstrated superhuman patience, kindness, and humor with him. There were sleepless nights and so many difficult days, but her faithfulness and commitment to their marriage was strong, as was her faith that God had a plan and was in control. One day soon after Dad was diagnosed, we went to breakfast, and he told me he understood what was going on and he was ready to meet his maker. I remember laughing and telling him I hoped he wasn't in a big hurry because his body was pretty healthy. But he was sure of his eternal future, and he wanted me to know he'd be okay. Dad's faith was often quiet, but always strong. The day we signed him up for hospice, just 2 weeks before his death, he was having a pretty good day, still not making a lot of sense, but talking more clearly, and he kept calling staff over saying, "Come over here and meet my daughter." It felt so good to be his daughter that day. At one point, it was just us, and though he wasn't really looking at me or talking to me, he put his hand on his chest and he said, "I'm just so blessed. I really am." Even through the dementia and the altered world he lived in, so much of the time he felt God's presence and goodness, and I'm so grateful I was reminded of this soon before he left us. The last several years were so hard, and I often prayed for God to be merciful and take Dad home. I wondered why God would allow such a strong, proud, and vital man to live the way he did, but I was also reminded again and again that I am not God. And he loved my dad exactly the way he was. He valued Dad's life, and this was his plan. As I sat with Dad through the night before he entered the kingdom of heaven, I held his hand. I told him he could go, and we'd be okay. And then he left. And even though I've missed my dad for a long time, and this is what I've been praying for, his physical absence is so much harder than I anticipated. He's a lot to lose. Focusing now on the happy memories when I can be thankful for God's mercies and for allowing me to be Don Rorty's beloved daughter, and mostly that he is finally free.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken hearts he has mended, those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming, praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes now unfolding, heaven's grandstands all in place, heaven's choir now assembled starts to sing amazing grace. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I can hear his trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
God, he's come.
that better? Sorry.
No, you're off completely. Wait a second.
Okay. Takes a village. Yeah. I don't know how long, I don't remember how long I've known Don, but I know he was such a pleasant gentleman, a real delight to be around. And on top of that, too, he was a man's man. There's one thing I would bet if I was a betting man. I bet I know what Don's favorite bumper sticker was. His favorite bumper sticker would have been, if I'd known my grandkids were going to be this much fun, I would have had them first. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest blessings in a person's life is to have grandparents that love them. And he loved his grandparents, his grandchildren, as you've heard talked about. He doted on them. And the challenge to you kids is to follow his example. You be the grandparents to your grandkids when they come that Don was to you. And that would be a great thing and a great honor to your grandfather. You know, the great question that comes when somebody dies is, was he ready to go? We thank God that Don had settled that issue many years ago. He repented of his sins and put his faith and belief in Jesus Christ. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Since that decision, Don has served Christ well. He's always been faithful and true to his Lord, and he's been faithful to the church and to the highest and the best things of life. What does the Bible say about the death of a Christian man? One thing it says is, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their labors and their work follows them. Another, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How about absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Don's old worn-out body is gone, but the real person, his spirit, his soul, they were set free and are with the Lord today. And that's wonderful. Frankly, Christians will be thankful to be rid of their old, worn-out, sinful, sick bodies when death comes. The Apostle Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. How is it that a person who dies gains? I mean, at death, didn't he lose his home, his loved ones, his friends, everything he owned? What does a Christian man gain in dying? Well, he gains freedom. No more aches, no more pain, no more sorrows, no more suffering, no more tears, no more problems and troubles of this world. He gains fellowship, the sweetest fellowship he has ever enjoyed, sweeter than any that's ever been enjoyed by a person while alive. He has fellowship with the great men and women of the Bible, fellowship with all those who have loved the Lord and died. And best of all, he has fellowship with Jesus Christ himself. And Christ is the one who made heaven possible for us. He also gains full knowledge. There are many things we do not understand while on earth, such as why sin comes in and breaks our hearts, why so often some fine young person has been taken away and another is left who makes no contributions to the world's benefits. However, when we get to fellowship with Jesus, he's going to explain it all to us. We will even see that some of the things which caused us so much sorrow were actually simply blessings in disguise. And God allowed them to come to us for our good and for his glory. What does the lesson of death teach us? The first is that death is certain. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Short of the Lord's return, every one of us here today are going to die physically. And life passes in a hurry. It doesn't matter whether you live 90 years or 10 years, life is short. We need to be ready. We don't have a promise that we'll have tomorrow. The only way to be truly ready is through faith and belief in Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures Don had underlined in his Bible was Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean in your own understanding, and acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Don trusted in the Lord for his salvation. He had faith in the Lord and confidence that when he died, he would be with Jesus for all eternity. The day Don died, his faith became sight. There is salvation in no other way. The Bible in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you can be saved." So you see, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don trusted in the Lord, and he would be honored if you did the same. What comfort do you have this hour? Remember that you did your very best for Don. You got him the best medical help and nursing skill available. You can take great comfort in remembering that death isn't the end. Beyond the tears, there's another life and another land. We look forward to a new home of joy, which will be ours when we leave this earthly place. What joy and comfort is ours when we remember that we will see Don again. But our greatest comfort comes from Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus stands today with open arms and says the same thing to us. Just come to him, lean your head upon his chest, and he will give you rest and comfort and the grace and the courage you need for this hour. So may God bless the memory of Don. And may he bless and comfort all of us who mourn today. And may all of us place our hands in the nails pierced hand of Jesus and follow him until he takes us home. Let's pray. Father, there are many of us who are grieving today over the separation from Don. We delighted in him and we loved him. He is truly missed. Father, only you can give us the comfort we need for today. We ask that you provide that comfort, that you let us feel your arms enveloping us today. We also ask, Father, that you will move in the hearts of those who heard this message today, and you will bring them to faith in yourself. We pray this, Father, in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to ask you again to stand as we prepare to leave today, the celebration of Dawn's life. Let's sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You're invited, after the family departs, to leave and go to the fellowship center over that way for some refreshments and a chance to speak with the family. So if you would, let the family depart, and then we'll see you over there. Go in peace.